Okay, I have quite a few slides, so I have to breeze through. Title is a mouthful. I want to repeat the title. We have quite a few people working on this project. Myself, Mark Hauteur, Jeff Srock is here, he's going to present later. And lots of people from St. Paul, where most of the lab testing were conducted. I divide my talk in sort of a first generation bioreactor and second generation bioreactor. And bioreactor is nothing else but using the natural bacteria in the soil, for example, that can denitrify the water. So we are in the business of cleaning up the water by using this bioreactor system. So the first generation of bioreactors that's installed in the edge of the field is underground, use horizontal flow coming from the drainage tile. Target nitrate only, and then all we use for doing the clean of the water is the wood chip system, where the bacteria is growing eventually. It's a low oxygen environment, so the denitrifying bacteria can do their work and hopefully reduce the nitrate, if you will, loading the surface water. So the first generation result, sample of the result we did. There's a special request from the Minnesota Department of Agriculture when they ask us if the bioreactor can take care of some of the pesticides as well. So we did atrazine, acetochlor. I'm not going to give you the those results, but only the nitrate result that we've collected. So this is a three cycle. One cycle is about 1 week. So the black triangle were the incoming concentration of nitrate, and the white triangles were the outcoming triangles through the bioreactor. So we got a really fair reduction of nitrate through the system. The phosphorus, now this first generation was not intended to do anything about the phosphorus, but since we've been taking the sample, we said to ourselves, we had a little money, we said, let's test for phosphorus just to see what happens. And very nice result, we never expected, but it's there. Give you the load. Load is nothing else but the concentration times the quantity of water coming through the system. So giving you the acetochlor and the atrazine, we saw some reduction of loads, 70% and 50%. They were injected into the system that I showed you earlier in the picture. Nitrate had 42% and total phosphorus 79% of reduction or load. That was really nice result. So I'm going to tell you a little bit, how did you manage to go from the first generation to a second generation bioreactor design? So the second generation bioreactor, as a contrast of the first generation, is going to be on the side of the ditch. We use vertical flow. The tile drain is right here, pouring directly into the bioreactor. We'll target both nitrate and phosphorus, and we use phosphorus adsorbing material. There were three of them, I'll tell you later. For the denitrifying material, we used wood chip and corn cob. Wood chip is the classical material to use for denitrification, but corn cob is quite efficient also under cold temperature, because Minnesota is a cold temperature regime. And this is the what you call the cube bioreactor now. So it's about 1,000 liter capacity, and we cut the top, and then we started to put some materials inside the bioreactor. So at the bottom we put some just rock down there, and this is a material called GeoGrid. And the idea was, because you remember from the first generation it's a horizontal flow, for the second generation we kind of transposed the idea of column of treatment, because we did some column test in the lab. So we said, what if you try to imitate those columns and use this cell-like, honeycomb-like. And what we did is put the rock first, and then for each cell we can pound in the wood chip, so it won't have any preferential flow, hopefully uniform through the system. And of course, because we have additional source of carbon for the second generation, that's how we managed our source. So this is a peristatic pump directly in this cutter that will fall into the top of the cube. So I'm going to share with you now the result for second generation. So this is the field implementation of the cube bioreactor. We have 9 of them, because we have 3 phosphorus sorbing material. We have limestone, we have crushed concrete, and we have steel slag. Steel slag is a residue of iron processing. It can take care of the phosphorus really quick. So that's the field implementation. And this is a diagram of how we put together this system. So this is the intake of the water with a classical grid drain control structure right here. And after a little while, we have acetate injection station and the 9 bioreactors that were just randomized blocking design. So 3 materials, 3 replicates, 3 × 3 = 9. And this is the injection station. We have a 300-gallon acetate. We inject into the water flow, going into the cube bioreactors, and we had acetate pump here, and of course the solar panel to power everything. And this is the final step in the whole system. So the water comes down, goes over the system here, the cube, and where we have the calcium concrete, limestone, and steel slag on top of the material, comes below it, the corn cobs, wood chip, and a material called Brotex and red porous rock. We're hoping if these two materials to help the, let the bacteria develop more, so hopefully they can treat more nitrate, if you will. And we have a riser up here. We'll take the water, treat it into a tipping bucket where we count how much water has gone through the cube. And this is a classical ISCO sampler. We collect all the data, all the water, if you will, and we did a daily collection of data. 2016 was rather wet year, and we had the opportunity to run the bioreactors from April till early December. So that was a very nice year for us to run the experiment. This is the almost the fifth year average, 680 millimeter and 884 in 2016, so we got lots of water. Before I run into the result, I'm going to give you some period that I used to describe the results. So first, we didn't put any acetate into it. That was May and June. The acetate one is run into July, acetate two, a second addition of acetate, second period, if you will, July to August. Acetate three run into September and October. No acetate again in October, and then a little bit of acetate added in early December. Flow rate first. So on average, through the treatment, crushed concrete, limestone, steel slag, we had about 369 cubic meter per day. And I convert into terms of pore volume. Pore volume is nothing else than how much water went through the porosity, which is 40% for each cube. So we got about from 441 down to 323. And a talus on the problem we encountered with steel slag in the field, because it decreased over time the amount of water that went through that bioreactor. Nitrate concentration reduction through the experiment. So I leave out the no acetate right here, no acetate 1, no acetate 2. So we had, in July then, quite a bit significant. We had some acetate already, and more reduction comes to August. Decrease again. See here the gray is the subsurface drain, which is the original water we're trying to treat. And all these colors are the crushed concrete, limestone, and steel slag. So we had some good reduction in this 3 period, but in the fall start, the reduction CT2 will reduce again. 5 minutes, okay. Nitrate reduction, we ended up something like around, on general, it's 40%. And we tried to convert into removal rates of bed bioreactor. This is the, if you will, the bed bioreactor is nothing else but the first generation bioreactor. So it goes into 2 to 22 gram of nitrogen per cubic meter of bioreactor per day. So the cube bioreactor, the second generation, ended up within 9.6, 13.6 as removal rates. For the phosphorus, so no acetate here again, in the second no acetate period, and we saw mostly the total phosphorus reduction in the acetate 1 and acetate period 2. In the fall, and of course toward December, there was very little reduction. The gray again is the subsurface drain. And the 3 colors here are the treatment, crushed concrete, limestone, and steel slag. Overall, the load reduction ended up with the total phosphorus is about 42% overall in all the treatment we had. And coming to the end of my talk here, There's a acetate ratio that was advised on the papers. It's about 0.86 to have a decent reduction of nitrate in the water. And this carbon to nitrogen ratio comes from this equation right here. So acetate plus nitrate would be 5 carbon compound plus carbon dioxide, nitrogen gas, and so forth. So the ideal would be 0.86, but we used actually 0.68, 0.75, and even very low acetate ratio at the end. And we add, first time we added the acetate, is a problem encountered, something grew up in the pipes, and that was in present in 250 feet of pipe. So I had to clean the whole thing. That was quite a challenge. We had to do it almost three times in 2016. And it's been analyzed right now. The first result from the analysis of this material is that it's full of denitrifiers inside. So hopefully they can help us more for the reduction. Another thing is that earlier this year, because we still have 1 year to go, all the water that went into the cube overflow, and you checked everything. You said we have to shake up a little bit the top layers because we have the steel slag, we have the limestone, you have the crushed concrete. So you started to shake up a little bit, and at the limestone group of bioreactors, we had a release of phosphorus right there. Yeah, because we shook up everything just to improve the flow of the water through the bioreactor. So that's kind of an anomaly happening in our system. We have to be aware of that sometimes, especially the steel slag, started to be as hard as pavement, so we had to get some strong men pound on the top of the steel slag to get the water through the bioreactor again. The summary. The main thing I want to focus is this summary number 4, because I suppose already presented everything from 1 to 3 there. So our biggest gain for the second generation bioreactor is the hydraulic residence time, which is how much time does the water stays in the system, in the bioreactor, and still get treated. So in our case, the second generation achieved the same nitrate load reduction approximately 3 times faster compared to the first generation. I had the opportunity of testing for the real hydraulic residence time for the first generation bioreactor. The fastest it can do was 11 hours, and we were able to reduce it to 3 hours, if you will. So about 3 times of reduction. Thank you so much. That's my talk today.
So we have time for probably 2 questions.
Okay. Yes.
I saw that the phosphorus went up in December with the crushed concrete.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah, slightly. We checked the test, we tested it, and it's not significant, statistically speaking. Was about, it decreased, but not significantly. We tested it, but that's why we put it in the field, what's happening in the field.
And
we
have. Was it even higher than the?
Oh, yeah, yeah, some of the treatment were higher than the drainage water, which means maybe there was some release of phosphorus, like in the case here, because you shake things up. But see, the things, if it's absorbed on the material, and if you shake it a little bit, or some movement, or even the water coming through can release some phosphorus. That's how we think about it. Yes?
Oh, yeah. You or anyone else looking at the economics of this? The first one looks very simple, very cheap.
Yes, indeed.
The second one looks very complicated, expensive.
Yeah.
Is it really cost effective to do that much more? You got not just nitrogen, phosphorus, and atrazine. The first one is.
Yeah. Yes, right now I went a little bit into the economics of this. So we have 114 acres of drainage area treated. We have 9 bioreactors. Out of everything and the expense we had, we come out about $11 per acre. Mm-hmm. That's our economics, which is still in reasonable. But I think the whole system is a little complicated for now, because our point is to make a proof of concept. Mm-hmm. Does it work? Will it do anything? Yeah. Compared to the lab experiment, it always goes very nice. Did I answer your question?
Well, the first one was how expensive.
I think we ended up, that was one of the first bioreactor put in Minnesota, about 7,000, 10,000 way back then, in 2009, that was.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Okay, that's actually all the time that we have.
Yeah.
Go ahead and move on. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Thank you.